What's going on, Kicking Out Podcast Nation? It's Sunday night. It's July 28th, 2024. So the last July episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. I'm Tanner Lee, your defending reigning KOP Predictions Champion. Co-host Paul Zartman, the People's Champion. Oh my God, he looks like the Fiend. Not the unwise man, the People's Champion is back in the house tonight. The ship, Austin Shepherd, might be joining us. He's on a family vacay, so I don't know. Paul, how are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. That was a nice little surprise there. Paul, peeling back the curtain here. Paul, before we went on the air, said he had a little surprise for me that he wasn't going to unveil till we went live. And, it was a Fiend mask.
Yeah, it was a nice little something that I found online, and I decided to grab it, and I figured what better way to debut it than right here on the Kicking Out Podcast.
There you go. There you go. And Paula, I mean, why we got a minute here at the beginning, why don't you let everybody know what kind of project you've been working on and what you're going to be up to this upcoming week?
Yeah, so I've decided that I'm going to launch a YouTube channel of my own. It is called Paul's Funhouse. You can find it by searching Paul's Funhouse over on YouTube. That's the only place I'm at right now. It might grow, but to start, I figured just stay simple, go YouTube. Going to be talking all sorts of things on there, paranormal, wrestling, mental health, because I'm a big advocate for mental health. I'm going to have some special guests from time to time. They'll talk about some of the stuff that they're into. It's going to be just a mashup of a little bit of everything, which is where the Funhouse name came from, along with a nice little tip of the hat to Bray Wyatt and the Firefly Funhouse.
Very good stuff. And when can everybody expect the first episode to launch?
First episode of Paul's Funhouse debuts Friday, August 2nd.
All right. All right.
I don't know the time yet, but be prepared. It'll be here.
Will this be a live show every week, or is it pre-recorded?
It'll be pre-recorded. There will be some live stuff in the end, but to start, we're going to do pre-recorded.
And video only to start, or is this going to be on audio podcast platforms too?
You know, I've been kicking that around. Definitely on YouTube to start. It might end up becoming audio as well. Probably will end up the same places you can catch the Kicking Out Podcast over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
All righty. Good stuff. Good stuff. Majin with a comment. And when can I get on Paul's Funhouse to talk some Dragon Ball?
You know what, Majin? I'll shoot you a message and we'll set something up.
I like that. That'd be a fun episode. That'd be a fun episode. I like that. We got a couple comments from TGY. He's a loyal viewer of the podcast from Hungary, so I'm sure he's sleeping right now as he put these on here earlier. But let's see what he had to say. He said, Collision crowd was absolutely fantastic. Beats most arena matches for sure. Yeah, Paul, what? Since you weren't on the pod last week, what do you think of this Collision setup right now in the esports arena down there in Arlington, Texas? Holds about a little over 1,000, but what do you think of the presentation so far?
You know, I'm actually enjoying it. It makes it feel a little more personal. You get, you know, a little over 1,000 people in there. So again, it's not a huge crowd, but you're not looking for a huge crowd. You're looking for that crowd of loyal people who are going to come and enjoy Collision. And the presentation is just phenomenal. I have to say, the stage, the ramp, the ring almost rivals Dynamite as being better.
Yes. Stephen Chambers here in the chat says looks bigger than the WWE PC. Yep. Huh. Yep.
I think everything's bigger than that.
Yep. So it's I'd rather have a small crowd if it's going to be filled in, like you said, with some excited fans rather than half of an arena full of fans that are just sitting on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah. When you can get a loud crowd, it doesn't matter how many are present. You can have 100 people, and if they're loud, it'll feel like there's a million there.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, no Shep's in the house as of now. Like I said, don't know if he's going to be joining us tonight. He's on family vacation. But, Paul, I got to put up the graphic anyways. What are we drinking tonight?
Some good old sweet iced tea.
Sweet iced tea. I'm actually right there with you. I got some sweet tea from McDonald's right here. No free ads. Yeah.
No free ads.
Yep.
Except and, fun house.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's yeah, no problem there. And I still need to make the graphic for what I'm watching.
What are we watching? Yeah.
Well, there wasn't too many good wrestling events that happened on July 28th. There were some Raws, some SmackDowns. There was an ECW. I think that something happened back in the 90s, but really no pay-per-views. So I'm like, it's still July. I've talked about this pay-per-view many times on this podcast. Great American Bash 2006, which happened in Indianapolis, Indiana, and then the Conseco Fieldhouse, and I was in attendance. So it is known as the match of what could, or the pay-per-view of what could have been, because there were three matches that got changed the week of. So
Yeah.
So, all right. What else we got here on YouTube? Steffi in the comments, have we apologized to the acclaimed? We're getting there. We're getting there. At least I am. We're getting there. Steve Chambers, Kurt Angle will be proud I'm drinking milk. All right, Steven. So are we going 1%, 2% whole milk? Are we going skim milk? Are we going chocolate milk? Are we going strawberry milk? What are we doing? You got to let us know now.
Yeah, I mean, did we throw a protein powder in there or anything? Yeah. I mean, let us know.
It's Milk-O-Mania tonight in Steven's house.
Oh, yeah.
2%. All right. I can't. I like myself 2%.
All right.
I can't,
all right.
I can't do skim milk. Can you, Paul?
No,
I can't do it.
It's no.
Like water to me.
Yeah. And honestly, if I'm going to do chocolate milk, I like whole milk.
Yes. Yes.
It gets more of that rich taste to it. Yep. So
it is almost like a shake in a way.
Yes.
In 1%, my wife likes 1%. I can do 1% in cereal, but I don't really like to drink it. But for cereal, I can do it.
All right.
Steffi says she's got beer. What kind of beer? What kind of beer we got? We want to know. We
can't just
know
say beer. I mean, we're the type of people who are just going to go, oh, she must be drinking Bud Light.
Yeah. And if you're drinking Bud Light, hey,
that's more good, power to you.
But we just want to know what kind. But we don't have any cocktails going on or any cherry bubbly like Shep usually does. But he's probably having one right now, wouldn't you say?
Probably, depending on where he's at. I mean, he might have had three or four by now.
Paul, you want to take a stab at that one?
Schaffenhofer.
There you go. That's what Steffi's having. She says a grapefruit flavored beer. I don't think I can do that. I'm not a grapefruit guy.
Can't do grapefruit. Nope.
Nope. But hey, to each their own. Hope you enjoy it. And thanks for tuning in, like always. So, Paul, let's dive right into Dynamite this week. I thought it was another good episode of Dynamite. And Majin's got Wayne Gretzky 99 Maple Whiskey.
Ah, okay.
The great one from the great
one. Yeah, yeah. And I got to say, Steffi, you really shouldn't be drinking any type of beer. I mean, you've got CM Punk in your picture there, and he's straight edge. So you've got to follow your role model there and be straight edge. Otherwise, you get fired and end up, you know, like Serena Deeb, which did well for her, but still.
You know, I would probably say most of Punk's fans are not straight edge.
Oh, no. I don't think you can be straight edge to follow him anymore.
Like I said, Dynamite really good again this week, in my opinion. Of course, it was Blood and Guts.
Yeah,
one of their bigger events. Probably their biggest. Yeah, their biggest non-pay-per-view event of the year every year. This was the 2020, 21, 22, 23. So fifth one they've done already.
Is it fifth? I was thinking,
or did it start at 21? It started in 21, still in Bailey's place. You're right. Because we had the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle, and then the following year we had
the Inner Circle versus the Elite. No, that was
it was Inner Circle versus oh my gosh, who was Inner Circle against? It was against BCC. Against BCC. Because Eddie threw Sammy off the top.
I thought that was last year.
Last year was the Elite.
Oh, versus that's
BCC.
Right. That's right.
Kota Ibushi was with the Elite.
That's right.
Yep. Because last year, nobody went off the top. This year, nobody went off the top in the Blood and Guts match. But
no,
we had a lot of crazy spots. We had did. Staplers galore. We had kendo sticks. We had tables. We had chair shots. We had a chair shot to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, how'd you feel about the chair shot that Mark Briscoe delivered to Jack Perry's cranium?
You know, at first, I was a little uneasy about it.
Thank you for the correction, Majin. Jericho Appreciation Society versus BCC.
And it was still Jericho-related something or other.
You're right.
But the more I thought about it, it didn't hit like a normal chair. So I'm thinking there was something special about that chair.
I believe it was gimmicked. From what I've read, it was shaved down.
That's what
I thought.
That's what I've heard. But
and it was the one marked scapegoat.
Yes. So they knew which one it was. Yep. That was the smart thing to do there.
I have mixed feelings about it. At the time, I was like, ooh, you know, because in 2024, in this day and age, there's really no room for chair shots to the head. We know so much more about concussions and CTE than we did 20 years ago or so, when there was chair shots to the head were happening every week. But if they can gimmick it enough to make it safe, and you limit it to like one or two times a year, and there's no long-lasting effects from it, then I'm okay with it. But I'm good if we don't get another chair shot to the head all year.
Yeah. I mean, especially unprotected. I'm good with protected chair shots. You know,
that's yeah. Throw fine. Your hands up. Okay.
Yeah, but unprotected. Let's not get any more this calendar year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we love to reminisce about the Attitude Era. But you go back sometimes, watch those unprotected chair shots, and it makes you just cringe. It makes you just, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like Steven said, ECW vibes.
For sure.
Yep. And Stephanie does have a point, though. She said, all these unprotected shots, we got to protect the wrestlers. It ain't ballet. That's true. But, I mean, it's already a dangerous profession. I mean, you're getting landed on your neck a lot of times. Then you're throwing an unprotected shot. So I see both ends of it. I really do. I wasn't furious about it like a lot of the IWC was. But at the same time, I'm like, I also understand the argument for it's 2024. There's no place for that, too. So I'm kind of right in the middle.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Majin, sure doesn't help that Briscoe swung the chair like he was Jose Canseco.
That he did. That thing came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Majin, I agree with you here. He said some of the worst chair shots he's ever seen came in that Rock versus Mankind I Quit match. Yeah, it's hard for me to watch this. I mean, just chair shots to the face over and over, unprotected. Beyond the Mat, great documentary. But man, it's hard to watch with Foley and his kids and wife crying and everything at that event. That was tough.
Yes, it was.
Steffi says, yes. Yeah, as do I, but I was very happy to see it was a safer chair. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think AEW learned their lesson in the early days in 2019 when the Sean Spears chair shot to Cody was supposed to be gimmicked, but the lip of the chair still hit Cody in the back of the head and busted it open pretty bad. I think they learned their lesson.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you got to adjust quickly and, you know, not do it again.
Going back to talking about the Blood and Guts match, TGY says, let's see here. He says, by the time you record this, I'll already be sleeping, but could you guys discuss this thing I never understood on Blood and Guts? What is the point of entering the wrestlers one by one? The match doesn't start unless they're all there, so it's obvious nobody will surrender. So what's the point? Why can't they just get it on 5-on-5 from the start? I just don't get it. It's just a waste of time. And he also says, also the gasoline ending sucked, in my opinion. I mean, with this logic, some guys just can bring a gun and that's it. It's silly. Paul, thoughts on those two points he brings up?
He's not wrong on the gasoline ending. That was my least favorite. There's been too many I quits in the year 2024 that have ended in weird ways. We had Cody and AJ. Cody picked up the stairs. I quit. You know, Christian Cage got kicked in the balls repeatedly, didn't quit, open up a case. Oh, I quit.
Well, and then Adam was going to hit him with Barbie right in the nuts.
Well, yeah, but still,
I might have quit in that scenario.
That's about the only one that makes sense. You've been hit with chairs. You've been hit with stairs.
I didn't hate the ending, but I would have tweaked it. Because right when Darby poured the gasoline on his head, I'm like, he's not lighting him on fire.
Yeah.
If he would have just poured it on his pants or around there, then I could have believed it because we've seen it once.
Yes.
But right when he poured it on his head, I'm like, he's not lighting him on fire.
No, not even for a quick second with somebody standing right by, because you're still going to fringe your hair regardless at that point.
And poor Darby couldn't find the gasoline. He was looking for it for the longest time, and even
had to ask the ref
where it was.
Yeah.
So, I get it. Storyline purpose, you know, he won that TNT title shot at Wembley at All In. So making Jack give that to him, even though Jack's like, screw it. Light me on fire.
Yeah.
Spit at him and everything, which great character work for Jack Perry. Love that. That falls in line with his character. But what do you think about Matt Jackson, one of the EVPs, quitting for it? For Darby and for his team. Did you like that? Did you not like that?
I'm a little up in the air on it because I don't think with the way the EVPs have been talking, they should have been the
Jackson.
Ones.
Excuse me. I'm acting like Logan now. I'm sorry. Yeah. Matthew Jackson.
We know you don't respect your EVPs, Tanner.
Oh, yes, I do. I was rooting for them to win that match.
Oh, I wasn't. I was rooting for Team AEW. I still respect my EVPs, mind you.
I thought the Elite made more sense story-wise to win it going into the match because of, you know, they're trying to take over the company, trying to flex their power, be dominant. I thought it might make them look weak. Mm-hmm. But they set so many things up inside this match. I was fine with Team AEW winning this match. And kudos to my wife, who... she watches here and there, doesn't really care for wrestling, but when I have it on, she'll kind of watch. She predicted Team AEW doing that match. So, hey, maybe she knows more than I do.
It made sense.
Yeah.
You've got a Briscoe in there. You've got
You got two world champions. Yeah.
So, I mean, it only made sense for them to go over. I get the Darby side of things, don't get me wrong, but I would have rather seen Briscoe pick up the victory or even Swerve. But, you know, have Hangman say, I quit this match as long as you give me a world title match or something. But
I hated how they took Swerve and Hangman out of the match. They did a commercial or picture, and everybody missed
it. Yeah.
That was so dumb.
It was commercial or it was picture in picture, commercial break. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go grab a drink real quick.
Exactly.
Normally, big stuff doesn't happen all that often in picture in picture, so I was fine. Come back in. They come back, and I went, wait a minute. Where's Hangman? Where's Swerve?
Yeah.
And commentary just briefly touched on it.
No, they went through the tables. They're out of this bed.
Yeah. Oh, what?
So your world champion has a huge table spot, and we're not going to see it. You're not going to feature it. Potential replay of it. Nothing. Yeah, that was badly done.
Yes.
Because I love the Swerve and Hangman dynamics of this match. You know how Hangman didn't come out until Swerve came out. So there goes the Elite's advantage right there, because it's 5:05 already. But he handcuffs him to the cage. You know, they had to get him out with the pliers. You had Nana, you had Daddy Ass, and Jeff Jarrett. I didn't have Jeff Jarrett becoming a babyface in 2024 on my bingo card, but I'm here for it all.
I love it. And have you seen the backstage segment between Jeff and Danielson? That was so good.
He gets you in the heartstrings when he wants to.
Yes.
Even though he's been a heel for a majority of his career, when he wants to have an emotional babyface promo, he can do so. Jeff Jarrett's been a good asset to the company. I wasn't so sure when they added him. I was like, really? But I'm a double J guy. Steffi's Jeff's a heel. I think he's leaning the other way right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heyman attacked him on Rampage.
Yes. I got to say real quick, Tanner.
Yeah.
Quit being a cheapskate. Spend the extra money and remove the ads from Peacock.
Absolutely not. Nope. I'm
going to come on.
I guess my name's just Cheapskate or the cheapskate, but because I'm not. Nope.
Well, we don't need to see, you know, women doing things behind you while we're trying to have a talk about some guy getting handcuffed to a cage.
I'm so focused, I didn't even know what was playing behind me. So,
well, I'm looking at you because you're talking, and all of a sudden I see a woman's face and then a bikini, and I'm like, whoa, what is going on? I don't remember that.
You should be distracted by, oh, there was a bra and panties match during this pay-per-view. I remember that as 06, that would have been 14.
You were a little excited.
Yeah, I remember my grandparents took me to the event, so that was a little awkward of a match.
Oh,
yeah. I remember taking pictures with my flip phone, grainy pictures with the flip phone.
You go back and look at him now, and you're like, what is even on there?
I can't even make it out.
But back then, you're like, oh, look at this picture I got.
Oh, technology. Somebody get the spray bottle from Majin. Somebody get the spray bottle.
Steffi, come on, you're slacking.
But the Hangman Swerve stuff was a lot of fun. Like I said, a lot of good fun spots. I love the spot where the Elite all had staplers and all staple Swerve. And Swerve gets up laughing and smiling. And then it looked like an action movie. He's taking them out one by one with the stapler, especially Okada. Okada goes and gives him the bird. He staples his middle finger. Love it.
That was a great spot. I text you because, again, I didn't know if Shep is watching or not. And I was like, all I could say was, thank you, or welcome to Staples. How could we help you?
Yes. It was fantastic. We got Tyler Helton in the house. Hey, Tyler. Hope you're having a good evening. Thanks for joining us. I like the little stuff between Hangman and Okada. Okada pushing Hangman. Hangman accidentally hitting Okada with the buckshot later on. I think that's our Continental title match at Wembley.
Now with Dynamite, I know we're talking about blood and guts right now, but I'm going to take it back to the beginning of the show where MJF revealed the new American championship. Thoughts on this?
I love
Bobby Lashley's behind you, and it made me think of it.
Yes, I love it because it's supposed to be over the top and you're supposed to hate the title. And it reminds me of Lex Luger in the American Express bus. It's got a picture of America minus Hawaii and Alaska.
Yeah,
it's almost looks like Puerto Rico colors more than United States colors.
Yeah,
but you know, I like it because they're kind of dipping into what Will did when he was in New Japan. Turns the New Japan US title into the UK title. So, you know, and I laughed when MJF, the flag comes down and he has his face on it. That was pretty good heel work. Thrown in the trash, you know, he pulled a Lunger Blaze, a Medusa. All right. Tip of the cap there to some history. But I also like how Ospreay, I don't know if this was on air. If not, I saw it on social media. I saw it somewhere. That he pulled the title, the international title, out of the trash. So
it was on air. He grabbed it out and walked back looking at it.
So assuming he wins it back, or if he doesn't, whoever takes off MJF, it'll turn back into the international championship. I mean, because people are like, oh my God, they're adding another title. No, it's the same title. MJF's just rebranding it. He rebranded the world title in the Triple B when he won it. So it's just MJF being MJF. So I'm fine with it. I'm glad we're getting Ospreay MJF 2 at Wembley, but I'm still trying to figure out where's Daniel Garcia fit in all this. Long-term.
I said it when the attack first happened, it got Ospreay fired up. That's what you want to do. MJF wanted to show that true heel side by riling up an opponent without ever touching him.
Yeah,
that's one thing he was good at. You know, the MJF Cody feud, we saw that where he got under Cody's skin left and right, never touched him.
Right.
He's done that numerous times. That's one thing. He's the new cerebral assassin, so to speak. He's probably a little better at it because it's new age, new thinking. But I enjoy when he riles up his opponent without ever touching him. But in the long run, this is going to make Garcia a bigger star. And if Ospreay doesn't beat him at Wembley, like we're all pretty sure he will, I think he holds it till Garcia comes back and Garcia is the one to take it off of him.
That's exactly why I have a few weeks until the prediction show between me, Shep, and JPJ, because I think, like, as of right now, if I had to make a prediction, I'm picking Ospreay. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, if MJF, I mean, they could pull fast when MJF spoils Ospreay's big celebration at home. And then Garcia takes off him. Like you said, that makes Garcia a bigger star than he's ever been. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they could do something there. But I know Garcia's contract's also supposed to be coming up here in the near future. I don't know where that stands, if he's already re-signed or all that. Speaking of contracts, since in the comments here, and the guy was just behind me on the TV, Maj said there's rumors Lashley wants to reform the Hurt Business in AEW, eh?
Eh.
Well, he and MVP are going to be free agents, not with WWE anymore. Shelton Benjamin's been a free agent, so some company could scoop them up. I think all three guys are very talented. I think they fit better in TNA right now than AEW. The reason I say
absolutely.
That, AEW's roster's too loaded right now. There's
yes.
great talent that they can't make room for right now on a weekly basis anyways. So if they're going to bring in guys like Hurt Business, I hate to say this because I don't want to see anybody lose their job, but Tony would need to make some cuts, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, you've got big stars who are, and we were talking about one of them, and I forget who it was, but it's like, you know, they haven't been on TV in a while, and then I was flipping X, Twitter, whatever mm-hmm. it's called, Elon Musk's social media site, and
which we can't go live on anymore, by the way, everybody. That's why we're live on Facebook and YouTube, unless we go premium, but he charges you $11 a month for that. So
I have a few choice words for him on that one. But
yeah, me too.
Regardless, I came across that same person and they've been over on ROH this whole time. And they're a big name. Oh, and Paul White is like the general manager or something of ROH.
Yeah, Paul White just became something on ROH within the last week or two. And I'll throw it out here. This might be a spoiler. I don't know if this is the guy you're referring to, Paul. This is a spoiler. I mean, I retweeted from the Kicking Out Podcast X account, which you can follow us at Kicking Out Pod if you haven't already. But Sammy Guevara returned on ROH tapings tonight.
Oh, okay. All right.
He helped Dustin Rhodes fight off the Dark Order. So I'm like, wow. Not saying I'm not here for it, but that's very random.
Yes.
And he's coming back on ROH, not AEW.
Which says we don't have anything for you, but we still want you to perform under our umbrella. So here, go to ROH.
But he also, it also could be, and somebody else put this out there on X because it didn't connect with my brain at first. They said, Sammy has not been on TV since Mercedes debuted. And now when Sammy comes back, he's on ROH. Because you know the history there of the comment he made about Mercedes a couple years ago.
Yep, that got him in trouble the first time.
Yes. So I don't know. Yep. We'll see. Sammy's got a different look. Different look, a little longer hair up and kind of a little man bun / ponytail type thing. So,
okay.
Interesting. I mean, it's something different. Hey, he's not part of Learning Tree, at least yet. So,
I know. That's what I was so afraid of, is he was coming back and going right under the Learning Tree.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right, Majin. I did. Yeah, Mercedes did forgive him, but I don't know. That's just somebody's speculation. I'm not going to speculate on that because I don't know the details. Tyler here on YouTube says, look, I'm born with autistic. I love pro wrestling. I heard about that Tony Khan. He needs to develop his roster. Developmental roster.
He does. He needs a developmental roster, and that's kind of what he's using ROH as right now.
Yep.
But I think what I used to like when AEW first started was dark, because that's where you got your enhancement, quote unquote, enhancement talent. Now, of course, Dustin Rhodes would say they're all enhancement talent, but your new guys, your green guys, they would go to dark to get used to the spotlight, the cameras, the crowd, hone their skills a little more. And that's kind of gone away. And I feel that's kind of going to ROH now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to get them to get a performance center one of these days. I think it would really help them out a lot. So, yes, this was my next topic. And since we were kind of talking about Mercedes, let's go there. Modern said, I don't care for how they did debut Camille, but at least she's finally there now. Yes, Camille, the former NWA Women's Champion who had been signed to AEW since February, finally debuted. I don't know what they're waiting for. If this is what they're waiting for, just to debut her like this, interesting choice. But yeah, she's a force. And I like that Mercedes had as a heater at her side. And Camille fits that. It reminds me, she's got a lot of China vibes to her, you know, pretty muscular, pretty imposing force. And I love that torture rack into a bomb move she did on Brett. That was some good stuff. But, you know, I was thinking at first, all right, so Camille's at Mercedes' side. Britt used to have a heater there and hater.
Exactly.
But then at San Diego Comic Con, Mercedes shows up, her and Britt get into it, and Tony announces All In TBS title match. Because I was thinking at first, Britt and a returning hater at All In versus Mercedes and Camille in a tag match with some sort of stipulation on the line. If Britt and hater win, then Britt gets a TBS title match at All Out 2 weeks later, and there's a big event, a big match for All Out, but never mind.
Well, I think we can still see that happen, just reverse the roles.
Yeah.
We get the go-home show. Hater comes back and says, you know what? These two have been beating the crap out of you. You need somebody in your corner. I'm here for you. I'll be in your corner in Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody gets into it. Whatever happens, happens. I don't get to make predictions for this show, so I don't really care.
No, you can. You can. They're just not going to count.
Yeah, so why waste my talent? Why give out my knowledge?
Your talent.
Majin, don't even say anything. Tanner, you shut your mouth. Nobody cares what you've got to say.
Majin, buddy, that's teed up for you.
People's champ, shut up.
Oh, that's the people's champion when you can't have this title, Paul.
Oh, see, I'm looking at this like you made mention that we had to bring in a new title because nobody could defeat you, kind of like WWE. Now I'm thinking this thing's like the FTW title. All right. The KOP people's champion is better than FTW. It may not be recognized by KOP just yet, but I've got to call into the higher ups here at KOP, and we're working on making this a defendable champion.
I knew you were just a branch on the learning tree this whole time.
Oh, wow. I'm thinking back to, you know, Taz days.
Well, heck, I mean, the first FTW champion on AEW was your boy Brian Cage. So,
No, that's Shep's boy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, here we go. Here we go, Majin. To be the people's champ, you got to have the backing of the people. The only one whose back you have is your jobber buddy, Pluggo.
No, I think other people on here respect me and root for me.
Steph says, please make the FTW recognize. She's not talking about the whatever
you after like we do. Get this recognized, the FTW will be recognized. Oh. So first you have to respect your people's champion, acknowledge your people's champion, and then we will get a recognized FTW champion.
Yeah, Paul's going to start every podcast now waving at the camera saying, hi, guys.
Hi, Dave. anyway,
but
where was I going?
I don't know where we were going. We kind of just went down a rabbit hole, but
Because I wasn't
right. Gonna
lend out my knowledge to all in.
Yes.
But I think all chaos breaks out in the TBS match. And then we set up a 2-on-2 Britton Hayter versus
Camille
and Mercedes and Camille.
I mean, I'm glad. I mean, Camille was impressive in her days with NWA, and you know that one match she did have in AEW. So glad she's on the roster. This women's roster keeps getting deeper and more talented. And like I said, hopefully Hayter is coming back sometime soon. And and Julia Hart's rehabbing right now. So
shout out to Sky Blue. I didn't get to give that shout out last week when she screwed up her leg.
And I apologize because I didn't think it was that serious, and come find out she was in the cast. So that's my bad. I know somebody on YouTube asked me the latest on hers. I just went off with what FIFO was reporting at the time, but that was my bad. So, that roster's good. We saw Toni Storm return and attack our Mariah May, or they got into it and then got separated. Toni Storm, all black look, disguising herself as a I don't know, security guard, a cameraman, or what exactly she was going for there.
Janitor
or something. But I love that she yelled, are you prepared to die? Because I am. Beautiful.
This is fantastic.
Been a great storyline. Been a great storyline for one of the slow build ones, but it's been awesome. Majin, and then down the line, we can combine a couple storylines for our Women's Blood and Guts. Yeah, probably should have happened last year, but it's funny you brought that up, because later on this program, that's our draft segment tonight. That's what Paul picks. So we have to build our Blood and Guts team out of the women's division. So,
good luck.
Tyler says he hates Ethan Page. Oh, wow.
Oh.
All right. Not an all ego guy.
Mm. All right.
I am happy that Ethan's the NXT champion. I'm happy for him. I thought AEW dropped the ball with him big time. But that's
just absolutely. So, absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yep. Going back to Dynamite, going back to Blood and Guts, I do have to give the Acclaimed their flowers and my apologies. I honestly, this was the least excited I've been for a Blood and Guts match going into it, mainly because they were involved. And I felt like it was the JV versus the varsity. But Anthony Bowens and Max Caster showed out,
man,
and took some good spots. Bowens with the scissor spot, that was pretty good. Even though, if you're gonna stab somebody in the head with the scissors, we need some blood there.
That was the only downfall to that.
He did take a bump off the cage into the tables. Caster took a mouthful of tacks with super kick, which I really hope they tie that in with his character. Hope he goes to try to rap this upcoming week and he can't, or he mumbles or something because his mouth's all screwed up from the tax. Really hope they do that, but we'll see. And Darby, who, like we thought, was the perfect fit for this match. My God, was he fun. That coffin drop spot was awesome.
Oh, man.
Looked like a spider climbing real fast and drops himself.
Awesome. Here's the bad part for me. And it's not anything Darby did at all. That was a fantastic, but I'm watching that, and the first thought that went through my mind is, I miss the X division.
Yeah, with the
hanging it, and you always had to climb across, and stuff. Oh man,
yep,
ooh,
yep,
good old days of TNA, back with AJ.
AEW's got enough of those guys; they could do their own X division.
Oh, they could, and it'd be fantastic.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But.
Rebranded, of course, don't call it the X division.
Right. Modern said they got to get Bowens on his own. I love the team, but Bowens is clearly the showcase. Yeah, Bowens is the muscle of that group.
Yes.
No doubt. And he also said Ultimate X was my favorite match they had. Yeah, that was good stuff. Amazing athletes. Yeah, some breathtaking moments. 100%. But Blood and Guts topped my expectations. Like I said, I was not too excited going into it. Maybe it's recency bias, but I like this one a lot better than I did last year's. I thought it was really good. I thought my favorites were either this year's or 2022 when Guevara went off the top at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit.
Yeah. The good news is nobody seems to have got hurt.
Right. Yes. Yes. Because last year, unfortunately, was when Santana blew his knee out last year in that one. Yeah. Because it's a bloody, violent, gruel match like it should be.
Yeah, and he just took a step and went down. He wasn't even doing a big move.
Yep. Majin says, I got an idea for the next draft involving Ultimate X. Yeah, drop it in the DM, Majin. Absolutely. Yeah. We'd love to have a fan-submitted draft because our brains are always not coming up with the ideas. So.
Yeah.
And I think I think I'm on the clock for it next week, I think.
Yep, because Shep was last week.
Yeah, he was. Gosh, that was a tough one. Yeah, last week was non-wrestling Booker. That was tough. That was tough.
Yeah. So
other thing on Dynamite we didn't hit on yet. FTW championship match between Suzuki and Jericho, the Chop Fest, as we can call it. My goodness. I will say I enjoyed this match more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I was a little nervous with these two going into this. Not because of their age or anything, but they do have a tendency to work a little slower than most. And I was afraid it would feel like a, hour-long match and be a five-minute match. But no, it was really a good match. I mean, a lot of chops. Probably too many for some people's liking, but it was good regardless.
I mean, Jericho's chest it wasn't just raw hamburger meat. It was blood. I mean, just bloody mess. It was, it was intense, but we knew Jericho wasn't going to lose. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
So
if anybody was going to take it off of him, who wasn't involved in his storyline, he would have been the one to do it.
That would have been fun. Majin said, if AEW were to do an Ultimate X type of match, who would you book in it? It's usually six or so, if he remembers correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm.
Darby.
Yeah.
Leo Rush.
Sammy,
or I know he's new, but this hologram guy.
Hologram.
He'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of flippity flop dudes.
We're already to four. Ooh.
The top flight brother who, destroyed his ankle.
Dante.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, he'd be good. Assuming he joins the company, Ricochet would be a lot of fun. He'd be about perfect for that match. I mean, there's six guys right there, but you could name more.
You could go Rey Fénix.
Rey Fénix, good one. I'm not going to put Ospreay in there. No. I mean, I know he does some flippity flops, but I'm thinking of more cruiserweight guys.
Yep.
Fénix would be a good one. I mean, there's so many luchadors they work with now.
Half of the CMLL roster.
Right. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody that I should remember. But
the guy who used to be in WWE who jumped off the trampoline to enter the ring.
Oh, Sin Cara, which is now
him.
He's commander now, right?
I don't know.
Is that his name? I don't know.
I don't know. There's too many names. I can't keep up with them.
I know. So, but no, that would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. So, we saw Shibata get involved with Jericho. Yeah. So that looks like it's going to be a potential feud.
Mm-hmm.
Vikingo. Yeah, he'd be a fun one.
Yeah, yeah.
Mystico, you're right.
Mystico.
You're right. There we go. See, I get them all confused. It's not good.
They're all in masks.
They're all impressive as hard. Hell. They're all exactly. impressive as hell. But
there's two things that make it hard. They're impressive as hell, and they all wear masks. Yeah,
they all have like the same moveset. So.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Dynamite was awesome again this week. I really enjoyed it.
All right, if Shibata doesn't take this title off of Jericho, do we see Taz get involved and somehow win back the FTW championship?
I think he could get involved, but it'd be for his son to win it back yet again.
See, I would be almost okay with one match, Jericho versus Taz. Taz says, I'm here to shut your mouth once and for all. And then picks up the victory and says, look, I only agreed to one match. I'm not doing this anymore. I won the title, but here, Hook, it's yours.
Yeah. Yeah, he just can't get – I don't know how physical Taz can get. That's the thing. So
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. They got to do something. I like Hook and all, but I don't want it just to go back to Hook.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is here.
No.
And I don't know if it's really elevating Brian Keith and Big Bill like Jericho was hoping. But
nothing can elevate Big Bill. Remember, you know, back in his days at WWE, he used to have a tag team partner that says, you can't teach that.
Yeah. I'm so glad that guy's not anywhere on TV. Tyler here on YouTube says, look, I love the AW roster. They have lots of talented wrestlers, but many of titles. They do have a lot of titles.
They do.
They do have a lot of titles. I don't think they'll be adding any more anytime soon. So
yeah,
I think we're good. And WWE has a lot of titles too.
They are adding more from the rumors I've read.
Yep.
Just about every men's title will have a women's version by the time 2024 is over.
Yep. So, yeah, a lot of titles and all kinds of promotions right now.
Oh, you got to watch Matt Hardy wrestle. I forgot that.
I did. He wrestled, if I remember right, it was Gregory Helms. Formerly the Hurricane. And they're good buddies in real life, I think, if I remember that. But no, I remember I was pumped for that because I was, and still am, I've always been a big Randy Orton guy, right?
Yeah.
And this was a SmackDown pay-per-view, Great American Bash that year. And Orton, like a month or two ahead of time, got traded to Raw or signed with Raw. And I was real disappointed because I couldn't see Randy Orton. So Matt Hardy was one of my favorites to watch that night. So
yeah.
Even though my favorite was Batista. I was a big Batista guy. So
oh yeah. Can't blame you there.
Yeah. So that was Dynamite. Fun show, set up a lot of good matches. I mean, this all in card already, Paul's looking pretty darn good.
Yes, it is.
I mean, we know Swerve and Danielson. We know MJF and Ospreay, Mercedes and Britt, and Storm and Mariah May. That's four big time matches right there. We can speculate that's going to be Okada, Hangman. I think that tag team title match, I think it's going to be a triple threat between the Bucks, FTR, and the Acclaimed. I could be wrong. It could be just the Bucks against the Acclaimed. I don't really know any other matches right now to make a prediction on, but we know Jack and Darby. Sorry, forgot that one. Jack and Darby for the TNC. But no, it's looking like a fun card. Michael McLean on YouTube. Sup, boys. Hope you all had a good week and the families are good. Yep, Michael, it's been a good week. Family's good, so appreciate the good thoughts. Hope all's good in your world. And if I'm not mistaken, you're heading to SummerSlam next weekend in Cleveland. So enjoy, my friend. That's going to be a blast.
Lucky.
You know, our buddies between two beards, Paul, got the credentials. They got credentials for that. No, they were surprised to get credentials for that, so.
I know. Congratulations to them. I hope they enjoy it.
Paul's a little bitter because he loves Cleveland and it's his birthday. So,
yeah.
Understandable. Rampage. The big thing out of Rampage was Darby Allin won the chance to go against the AW champion. Not at All In, not at All Out, but at Grand Slam later on in September.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think by doing this so early, Paul, they kind of showed their cards for who's going to win that All In?
Yes. They should not have announced this early. It's stupid on their part, and it makes your job of retaining the title even easier.
Yeah, it kind of actually, as of July 28th, it's kind of persuaded my pick to go a different direction than I was kind of leaning towards.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. And it's still like, I understand that, you know, they pushed All Out back yet another week after All In. So it's 2 week build, but like, you can't, I don't know. I don't know what the main event of that's going to be. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
It probably won't be another world title match. I don't know.
No.
I don't know. That's, it's going
to
be,
we'll have to wait.
Interesting.
And see.
Yep. Michael says, yes, sir. Can't wait. Also big Jelly Roll fans, and he'll be there too. Yeah, I like myself some Jelly Roll. I like myself some Machine Gun Kelly too. So I really like the song they just launched, released on Friday. It's good stuff. Lonely Roads. That's good stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Majin's talking about twist-a-fading people in the comments on YouTube.
No,
somebody control that guy. He's a nuisance.
We can't control him. Can't control.
He's
him.
A nuisance.
He loved the design of the American title, by the way, but. I told him it would be better if it was Canadian though, right?
Ah, yeah, yeah.
He was probably, yeah, Majin, were you a big Team Canada guy in aid or in TNA?
Oh, Canada.
With Scott D'Amore and Petey Williams and Bobby Roode and Eric Young.
Yes, Majin, you're a nuisance.
Collision last night was from the Esports Arena, like I said, in Arlington. Pretty good show. What were your big takeaways from Collision, if you had any?
I didn't have any.
Didn't have any?
No. Well, no, I take that back. Glad to see the newest member of the roster make their debut on Collision last night, Little Jay Briscoe.
Yes. Yes.
And can we acknowledge the fact that Kyle knew this was coming as he's just standing behind him with the belt going?
He's funny, but I'm like, Kyle, you are trying too hard with this character. Like, it's something else. But
yeah.
Well, we did.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, we saw the conglomeration get a win. FTR, first TV match for them a couple months, got a win. Pac. Got a good win over Leo Rush. I see that main event. That was a fun match.
Yes.
I thought Hologram stole the show last night.
Oh man. And then TK coming out and giving him a hug and everything. That was fantastic. But one thing I do have to say is FTR, great match. Another takeaway I did have from Collision. It's never appropriate to go online and say they touched tips.
No.
That was so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what everybody kept saying. FTR touched tips with MXM. No.
Yeah. 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 And Great Mortos, I got to give that guy some flowers too against Hologram.
Oh,
you know, I didn't give him flowers last week when I should have against, I think it was Orange Cassidy. He was great this week. I'm liking that we're getting Lance Archer back on TV. Paul, a guy we're like a broken record talking about that AEW needs to use him more, and
yeah.
He made everybody die last night. So we're gonna see him and Ospreay on Dynamite. They had a great feud over New Japan, so that's gonna be fun on Wednesday. I think we know how the match is gonna go, but it's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Ospreay is going to pick up the victory there, of course. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch because those two have very unique styles of their own. And to see those two collide, I think is going to be really good. And hopefully we'll put Archer back on the map as somebody that can do some good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Battle of the Belts? Did you watch that at all?
I did not. Because normally Battle of the Belts is just absolutely stupid.
Right.
But this was by far my favorite Battle of the Belts ever.
Yeah, we got a fun title change for ROH, Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Kevin's sons, Marshall and Cole, Von Erich are the new ROH Trios champions. So really cool.
Yes.
Really cool.
Yep. And it just goes to prove what Cody's entrance music has said for years. There's more than one royal family.
Yes.
In wrestling.
If you want to hear that crowd pop, go watch Kevin put the Iron Claw on Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
That was a pop.
Yes. And I think, speaking of, the movie is what's brought these guys back into relativity.
And right. You were with MLW, I believe.
Yes.
For a while. And I know AEW's got a big roster, but I would like these two to get signed. They would be good. And like Majin pointed out here in the comments, this is Dustin's first title in AEW or ROH.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to the little one today about it, and he said, you know, I would like to see Cody come back to AEW and Cody and Dustin win tag titles before Dustin retires. And I maybe not in AEW, because I don't think Cody's coming back.
I don't think he's coming back.
I've kind of come to the realization that Cody's done with AEW off of some of the comments he just keeps kind of cryptically making.
I just want to know what all went down, because obviously whatever was still spurs him to this day. So,
and it's weird because I'm not sure who it was between, because he always says he roots for Kenny, he roots for the Bucks, and he roots for Tony.
Right.
So was it him and Hangman?
But it's, I mean, everything that dropped, it was between him and Tony, but professionally, they're not going to talk bad about each other. So I think 10, 15 years down the road, when he releases a book, I think we might finally find out why it went down.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Majin says here in the comments, I have a feeling Brandy was involved.
Wouldn't shock me one bit.
One of the comments Cody made is, you know, they said they didn't have anything creatively for Brandy, and
WWE didn't want her. So
she's sitting at home now raising your kid.
Yeah, she's doing a great job being a mom and doing her own Pilates stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what all happened. It's fascinating to speculate, but Cody's got it made right now. He's arguably the most popular wrestler in the world right now. So he they're using him like he wants to be used. So,
yeah.
Well, but, you know, and I know Majin's going to be happy. I'm going to throw this out there, though, because I'm a big Cody fan. I can't say I've really enjoyed his world title run all that much, though.
No. No. It's
been okay. It's been all right, but.
In the words of MJF, it's been mid.
Yeah. I mean, he's just better as a chase. And, like, I get it from storyline, him against Solo at SummerSlam, but that's your main event. Like, I don't know.
Is it, though, or is it one of three main events or one of five main events? We're going to have seven matches tonight, and we've got five main events for you.
I think it'll be the main event because what's going to happen after. It's so predictable.
Yes.
So Tribal Chief's got to come back. So
Yeah.
Which Tyler says right here, he loves Cody Rhodes, but he's feeling bad for him because Bloodline beat him every day. I think he'll come out top on SummerSlam, so
he'll
be good. Like in Imagine made a comment about him looking weak since he's won the belt, pretty much. So,
I mean, unless it's in the ring, he's done nothing,
right?
You know, that's one thing I can say. And I never liked Roman as champion. Okay, it from day one, I didn't like him as champion. It wasn't because he was doing all this stuff and surpassed so many people. I didn't like him on day one, but at least as champion, if he was in an altercation, 9 times out of 10, he came up out on top, even if it wasn't a match.
Mm-hmm.
Cody only gets wins in matches. He never goes over when he comes to jump somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
I don't like that.
You're right. So, but going back to AEW is another, I thought, good week. I think the company's really on a hot streak right now. Their storyline, their storytelling is getting better, more on point. I mean, like I said, we're a month out, All In, or a little less than a month out, and we already know quite a few matches. and that's all August is going to be focused on is Wembley. Tickets are moving pretty good over there. I think they're close to 50,000 last time I knew. So it's not 80 or 81 or whatever last year. I mean, I know that number's disputed, you know, based on who you ask, but
every number's disputed depending on who you ask.
Right. But it's going to be a fun show no matter what. And, I hope August is as good for AEW as July was. Cause I thought July was the July in 2024 strongest month they've had dating back to 2022.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe even 2021.
So, absolutely.
Majin here real quick. No disrespect to Danielson, but the match there should 1,000% be Swerve versus Hanger. I think a lot of the fans would agree with that.
We want Hanger. We want Hanger. I will say, crybaby. That's okay if it gets him in the title.
With the consolation prize of him against Okada, though, I'm there for it. So
yeah, if that's what we get.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I don't. But, and I'm sorry. I don't want a triple threat now. Don't insert him for triple threat. They've done that once. It was the first pay-per-view back with fans. So that was Double or Nothing 21 in Daly's place. Great match, Kenny, Pac, and Orange Cassidy. But I'm not a fan of triple threat.
And we did
main event
Joe Swerve and Hangman. So for the title.
True. True. Yes. At Revolution. You're right. You're right. So. Yeah, they got a big crowd, big pop at the start of Blood and Guts. So,
yeah,
it's great. It's the best rivalry they got.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, trying to figure out who's attacking who behind you.
Oh, behind me, this pissed me off during the show. Yeah, Big Show ran in and helped Kali beat up Undertaker. So that Punjabi prison match they had been setting up for like months between Kali and Undertaker, but ended up being Big Show and Undertaker. Yay! Yeah.
I'm betting Kali had something with him that made it so he couldn't perform in that match.
I think it was, you know, Bobby Lashley couldn't perform because of elevated enzymes. Mark Henry blew out his knee the SmackDown prior. I think Kali, they said something about enzymes with him as well. Something health related or failed test related. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Michael JBL Cole on JBL.
Commentary. Man, I miss those days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such a great team.
But, yeah, go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
But I wanted to ask you regarding Danielson. Mm-hmm. I saw shortly before you popped into here that Danielson's giving an announcement on Dynamite. What are your thoughts? What do you think it's going to be?
I think he's going to address a lot of stuff going out there. You know, like there was a report that Sean Ross Sapp said today, you know, that from the interview last week, he said Doc Samson said, I can't wrestle to All In. That's supposedly true. They are really being safe with his neck and he's pretty banged up. But the goal was always to get him to Wembley. And there's belief that he's going to wrestle more after Wembley. And then even when he's done as a full time in ring wrestler for AEW, he's still going to be either part time. Or if he doesn't wrestle, he's still going to be involved backstage. So I think he's going to address the contract coming up on August 1st type deal. I personally think he apparently cast or hopes it's a retirement thing. Of course he does. I personally think his last full-time in-ring match will be at WrestleDream in October. Because it's in Aberdeen, Washington. That's where he's from. And Swerve's from that area too, which kind of makes the All-In match compelling from that standpoint. But I don't know. I think it's got to be around the contract, unless he's just coming out and saying, like, you know, Double J made a good point. I am focused, all attention on All-In. I'm going to win the title. I don't think it's retirement. I don't think it's retirement announcement.
I won't ask you who you think's going to win because, you know, you got a few weeks, so you got to make predictions. And I know it's only you and I here and none of your opponents are here.
I'll preface it like this. As my mind can change until we do the All-In predictions. But as of July 28th, if I had to make the pick right now, I'm picking Swerve to come out All-In as the champ.
Okay.
All right.
And yes. Hey, listen. You guys see Beth Phoenix officially done with WWE. How soon before she joins her hubby? I didn't even know she was under contract with them still until I read that report. I think it'd be great to bring her in with Adam when he returns somehow. Like maybe mm-hmm. not full time, but like a one-off match would be fun or something. Yeah.
Or have maybe even just as a manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of even the odds between him and Cage.
Yeah. And speaking of Copeland, that's another match we're probably getting at All In. Patriarchy against House of Black. For yeah. the trios, which would be good.
Mm-hmm. Be good. So. I know where my thought is, but again, it's not going to matter. House of Black needs something at this point.
Yeah.
The news just broke that Buddy resigned.
Yeah. Malachi's contract, there's so many reports. Nobody knows what to believe on his contract status.
Yeah. So if you want to squash some rumors, do put the titles on them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, true. Well, as long as they're champion, they're not going true. Anywhere.
It's almost time for the kill switch turn on Christian, isn't it?
Yes. Man, those please. Seeds have been
planted for so long.
And I know you don't like him, but even Killswitch's interaction backstage with Marco.
Yes.
Kind of said, yes. like, all right, you need help. Yep. I'll come help you.
Yep. I did see your boy got some TV time on Dynamite, then on Rampage, Kip Sabian.
Yes.
That was really random on Dynamite, but.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then somebody, I don't even remember who he was talking to, said something about his dad being, it was Nick Wayne. And he says, nobody even cares that your dad's dead.
Yes.
And Logan thought it was somebody else's son. I was like, no, that's Kip Sabian. He's like, no, it's not.
Well, I'm
he's
got a different look. Is. He's beefier now and different
hair
color. Tyler here wants Buddy Matthews back to WWE because Rhea Ripley. I think he signed for a couple more years, so I don't see that happening. And I don't think he'd be featured like he is in AEW if he was in WWE.
No, no, he wouldn't. He'd be mid-card if he's lucky. He wouldn't be getting gold or shots at gold. No. He didn't get it before.
Modern said, give me Beth Phoenix versus Chris Statlander or give me Death. You have to call her Chris Bootylander now after Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Just saying. Hey, that's another feud. I'm enjoying the Willow Statlander feud, but I don't like how they had Stokely ask for an eliminator match. Why not just ask for the title,
title match?
Just dumb. It doesn't make sense.
We've made it an hour and 8 minutes into this, so I'm gonna set it explicit. Fucking hate eliminator matches.
Yeah, they are. They just are meaningless.
Stupid.
Meaningless. And especially with, like, just as a manager, why for your client would you ask for an eliminator match? Well, now she's got to win that one, then beat her again. Just dumb.
Exactly.
But overall, what was your favorite show of the week for AEW?
Well, part of me wants to go Battle of the Belts because of Dustin. But the other two were eliminator matches, so it wasn't a Battle of the Belts. If you're going to do Battle of the Belts, you need every mid-card title on the line. Leave your women's and your men's world championships off of there. Give us every other title on the line. That's Battle of the Belts.
Yep.
But I wanted to say it because of Dustin, but I'll go Dynamite. Blood and Guts.
Yep. I'm going Dynamite as well. Like I said, it's probably the biggest Dynamite of the year. Winter's coming is another big one too.
Hey, Tanner, your favorite match is on.
Oh, the Punjabi prison. I can always say I was there for the first Punjabi prison match in WWE history.
It was the last one.
It was so hard to watch. I mean, it sucked watching it back here on TV too, but it was hard to watch there too because it's too many obstacles.
Yes.
But what was your rating for Dynamite, Blood and Guts, and who was your wrestler of the week?
Well, I think we already know my wrestler of the week. I've said his name like 5 times in this episode in the last 10 minutes. But I'm going to go again, blood and guts, I wasn't feeling too much heading into it. I figured it was going to, and it had nothing to do with who was in it. It just seemed like a weird group of guys for Team AEW.
Kind of mashup, yeah.
Yeah, but it delivered. I'm going to go 8-6 this week.
Oh, okay. Well, I always feel like I'm the high guy. And while I really enjoyed it, I'm going to go 8-4. So that was
right.
My guy. But I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it exceeded my expectations. I guess my overall complaints was the Ghastly on the head, so we knew he wasn't.
Yep.
Light him on fire. The Swerve Hangman taking each other out. We didn't even get to see it. Stokely asked for an eliminator match.
Yeah. As a manager, I would never do that. I would, it's like for the gold or it's nothing.
But my wrestler of the week, it's going to be Britt Baker. Her first in-ring match against Hikaru Shida. That's always been a fun rivalry. First match in 10 months. And I thought, looking back on her matches last year, you can definitely realize that she was injured and fighting through injury because she looked fresh and great in her return.
Yes. Yes. So. And another reason I went so high this week, we got what we've been complaining about for the last, you know, since 2019. Give us two women's matches on Dynamite.
Yeah,
I don't care if one's a squash.
Collision, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And we got some backstage stuff.
Yep.
Yes.
It's really, like you said, July has been a fantastic month for AEW. Yep. And if they keep going this way, I think you and I are going to be breaking into the nine soon.
Yeah. No, man. It's cooking. I think attendance is starting to go up. Different places they go. So, I mean, are they as hot as WWE right now? No, but they're figuring things out. They're going to get a nice TV deal soon. I think it's going to be announced sometime in August, especially with, the NBA stuff with TNT is probably going to court, but the NBA wants Amazon Prime. They don't want TNT anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a benefit for AEW though. So, but we'll see. We'll see how all the chips fall. I'm ready to do some drafting, Paul.
Let's do this. Now, this is hard because it's a total of 10 women for each of us. And it only makes sense with a handful of women on each side. So if we list the same, I'm okay with that.
Okay. I'm glad you explain that because I thought we were picking five each and our teams are going to go against each other.
Oh, we can do that. I'm okay with that.
Let's do that. That might make it a little easier to remember who picked who. So,
All right. Well, you get to go first. You're the champion.
All right. Well, I'm going with my wrestler of the week. I'm going with Britt Baker because she's proved over and over again she's tough as hell. I go back to that lights out match against Thunder Rosa, which was – that might have been my match of the year. In 2021, if I'm recalling our first year of the podcast, she's tough. I mean, she fights through injuries when needed. She likes to bleed. So give me the doctor.
All right. Well, not my captain, but my first pick, because she does like to get down and dirty and bloody. And she made sure to tell me those are her type of matches. Sky Blue.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I was hoping maybe you wouldn't go with her one and I could nab her. I'm looking, you know, we've had some good women in some bloody violent matches. But you're taking Sky Blue. I'm taking her her friend and one you also interviewed. I'm taking Willow Nightingale.
All right. I'm good with that. Well, if you're taking Willow, then I got to go with Chris Statlander.
All right.
Big bad booty mama.
Well, I mentioned her in the match against Britt. I'm taking Thunder Rosa.
All right. I'm going to, so far, pretty much stay in heel. Going to go just because I think even though she's small, I think she could really do this type of stuff. Julia Hart.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right. So we each got two more. I know she's injured, but I'm taking Jamie Hayter. If you're saying we can take people on the shelf, you took Julia Hart, so I'm taking my heater to group right here.
All right. Well, you had Britt. You had to go with her. It only made sense. But I was hoping you wouldn't, because I really wanted to grab that one. I'm going to go with somebody who made her debut on AEW, even though she wrestles more on ROH. And I cannot think of her name to save the life of me, so I'm going with her WWE name of Ember Moon.
That was my last pick. That was Athena was my last
pick. Thank you, Athena. God, that was escaping me.
Gosh, dang it. I thought I had the perfect five there. Oh. All right. So, okay. Man, I could go in a direct. Ooh. I know who I'm going with fifth then. I'm going Mariah May.
You.
Because she just showed how crazy she can be against Toni Storm.
Yeah, and she was my fifth. You know what?
Steven's giving you one there if you want to take it with Mercedes Martinez.
No, I think I'm going to go with somebody who you wouldn't typically think of in a blood and guts match, but I have a feeling she could do it. Serena Deeb.
Okay. All right, so... Yeah, let us know in the comments whose team you think would win. That'd be it. Hopefully we get blood and guts next year, maybe for the women.
Yeah,
we left some big hitters out there. Mercedes didn't get picked. Camille didn't get picked.
I wasn't picking Monet. If I was only allowed,
I know you weren't
champions. I wouldn't have picked.
I haven't seen that aggressive side yet. Anna Jay, she's been some hardcore matches. Ty Mello's been some hardcore matches.
I almost went with Anna Jay. I was torn between Serena and Anna.
Ruby Soho. I know she's pregnant, of course, but she could have been a good one. Of course, Majin would go with Saraya, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's Marina Shafir. She'd be interesting to be in there. So there's a lot of good options.
Majin would probably go with Saraya, Harley. Anna Jay, Mariah May, and Statlander is probably who he's going with. Yeah, Abaddon is a good one. Let's see here. Steven's got Mercedes, Nyla, Diamante, and Abaddon, all good hitters that would definitely be able to survive in a blood and guts match.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a testimony to the women's roster right now. Pretty deep and pretty talented.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't say that not too long ago.
No. I think, you know, we were hoping we'd get a good women's blood and guts match last year. I don't think they could have delivered it.
Yeah.
I don't think they had the stars that could have done it like they do now.
Here's a quick trivia question for you, Paul.
Oh, no. I thought I was done with trivia questions.
Who on the AEW roster has the most singles victories?
Men or women? Or just overall?
I'm trying to look at the records right now overall because I got the rosters up here. I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anybody. Overall.
That's a tough one. Can I get some multiple choice here or something? Jeez.
Nope.
Oh, you're an ass tonight.
I know. That's what I do.
I'm probably dead wrong on this, but Orange Cassidy?
You got it, my friend. You got it.
Really?
He is 160, 47, and 2. 27 and 10 on the year this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Good one.
He's the only one I could think of seeing nonstop.
I'm trying to see like who's second for the men.
Because when we first brought Shep on to Kicking Out Podcast, he was complaining how we were seeing Orange Cassidy every single week.
Jack Perry's 102, 49, and 1.
Okay, so they carried over his previous run.
Sure. Holy cow. Colton Gunn's 94 and 20.
Wow. I know who has the worst record.
Yeah.
Probably still a tie between Brandon Cutler and Pretty Peter Avalon.
Well, Pretty Peter's not even on the roster anymore. Let's see what Cutler's.
Really? He was just on there.
I don't think he is. Well, I'll double check myself here. Let's see. Cutler's 16, 61, and 2.
Mm.
Let's see if Peter Avalon's still on here.
He's got a new look. I know that much.
Oh, Peter Avalon's 14, 77, and 2.
Yeah. See, oh, I told you he was Serpentico's still on there.
18 and 130.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Serpentico.
Yep. Yep. Moxley, Stephen Chambers, wonder what Moxley is. Yeah, Moxley's got to be up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mox got second most wins. He's 143, 27, and 2. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see the women's here. Career. Okay. Who's got the most career wins for the women?
Oh, well, I'll stop looking then.
It's a tie. It's a tie.
Oh, is it?
But one's got less losses than the other one.
Oh, well, obviously it's Jade Cargill. Oh,
yeah.
Previously could have said that.
Yeah.
So women, man. Wins. Career wise,
yeah.
I only see one. I told you it wasn't fair. I was looking at the roster. Nyla's got 101.
And so does Sakura Shida.
Oh, does she?
Shida's only got 25 losses. Nyla's got 49. But here's what's crazy. In 2024.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
Nyla's 2-2. Shida's 4-2. So they've only wrestled 10 combined matches in 2024. That doesn't seem right. I mean, it is right, but that doesn't seem right. Like, they should be wrestling more. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Julia Hart's got a nice record of 51-18.
Very nice record.
Yeah. Statlander, 86-29.
Camille's 0-0. That's the worst.
Ooh, Majin. Soraya, 10-12.
Ooh.
Career in AEW. Ooh.
Jamie Hayter's not much better. 28-21.
Yeah, well, she was dominant those last year, but Thunder Rosa, 75-14. That's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Serena Deeb, 46-13.
Yeah.
Tony Storm, 72-16. Willow, 52-35. Yeah, that's starting to separate itself a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Rio, 45-17. Shep would have a comment about that.
I'm sure he would.
Poor Rebel. Majin's a comment about her earlier. We have not seen her on TV in about a year. I don't think they have anything creatively for her. She's 1-10 in her career.
Mm-hmm.
1-10. Yeah, there are some women with 0-0 records too. So,
yes, yes, I like Majin's comment right here. Dress up Serpentico as a woman and have Nyla destroy him.
It would be the fitting way for their social media feud to end.
Yes,
Abaddon's 46-5. Yet she's 0-0 in 2024. Makes no sense.
Yeah,
makes no sense. She might have been hurt for a little while though, but.
Do you have Sakura up there?
This will get Majin fired up. Gets me fired up. Wardlow's 86-13 overall, and he's only 4-1 in 2024. Ridiculous.
Sky Blue's 58-74.
Emi Sakura's 55-59.
Yeah.
She's 0-1 and 24.
Anna Jay's 59-45.
And she's taking a lot of those L's.
Well, 2024 is killing her. She's 2-12.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I love how they have Sting still up here. And, of course, Brody Lee as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
And negative one still on there.
And Stokely Hathaway's 0-2. Samoa Joe's 42-10. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How do the Acclaimed have such a good record? I don't understand it. 119 and 41 for Max
Caster. They won a lot of dark and elevation matches at one time in their careers.
Yeah. Danhausen's 13-8.
You know, we talk about Private Party quite often. Isaiah Cassidy's 70-86.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hook's 57-10. Heck, Evil Uno's 92-47.
Yeah. Big Bill's 23-21.
Sounds about right. Danhausen 13-8, 0-0 in 2024. Another one they're dropping the ball with.
Mm-hmm.
At Colt Cabana's 42-39. I would have not guessed he had a winning record, but he's 0-4 in 2024.
Yeah, and those four losses came from the fact that he wrestles with the Elite.
And it is fantastic. And Christian Cage headshot on here. He has all three trios titles on his shoulders. That's fantastic.
Very talented man. Chuck Taylor's still there. He's 0-1.
Yep. So
winning record overall, though.
Action Andretti, the guy who beat Jericho, 14-30 and 0-9 in 2024.
Yeah,
that did a whole lot of good. Suzuki doesn't have a record on here since he's not under AEW contract.
No. Bandito's 4-8 for his career.
Yeah. He's been injured a lot.
Yeah.
So John Silver's 98-50. I can't figure that one out.
Nah.
Josh Woods is 20-15. He's 0-2 in 2024, but I'm glad I came across him. He impressed me last night in that match with O'Reilly and Briscoe. I thought Josh Woods looked really good in that match. I think he's pretty talented.
Ricky Starks is 2-3 in 2024 and 83-20 overall.
Takeshka's 45-23, but he's 11-7 in 2024, and I feel like he's getting a push.
Yeah.
Malachi's 49-12, with three of those 12 losses coming in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Luther did the right thing becoming a manager, where he's 0-0 in 2024, because career-wise, he was 13-63.
Yeah, and most of those losses came with Serpentico.
Yep.
Miro's 31.
Yeah, there's one. I don't understand what's going on there, but Tyler wants to know what type of microphone you have, Paul.
It is a Neewer, N-E-E-W-E.
There you go.
Came as a package with the microphone, the arm, a little amplifier, and the cables to connect it to your PC.
Can't beat that. So, no. Paul, you have any other thoughts tonight? I know it's a little shorter than we normally go, but I'm kind of tapped out as far as any news or shows to talk about. AEW speaking.
I don't have anything AEW. Just trying to think. I think we pretty much covered it all. Congratulations to Dustin Rhodes winning his first championship. I mean.
Yep.
That give was me very more cool. Kip Sabian. I don't know. Kip's been, you know, I used him on something a couple weeks and I just.
Stephen Chambers said, guys, take on TK considering changing ROH to AEW ROH.
You go first.
I don't know. I don't think he's done a good job with ROH since he bought it. I've been pretty disappointed with the product. I don't even keep up with the product on a week-to-week basis. I don't order the pay-per-views, even though I heard Fridays was really good. I'm sure in-ring is good, but, you know, it's a good problem to have because there is so much wrestling to watch. But with that said, I can only watch so much. So I kind of have to pick and choose what I watch, and ROH just isn't on my schedule. So If it makes ROH better, turn into AEW ROH, then so be it.
Yeah. About right where I'm at. You spoke the words for me, it seems like.
And as we're wrapping up here, Majin has a non-wrestling question. So, all right, Majin, shoot from the
hip. Ask away, Majin.
This is scary.
Oh, don't worry. The Fiend's not coming back.
No, I meant this is scary as far as Majin's non-wrestling question.
Oh, yeah. It is Majin. Yeah, it is Majin.
Yeah.
And so, no Mandy Rose.
Yeah, she's doing just fine for herself outside of wrestling. I don't think she needs to come back anytime soon.
Exactly. She made more in a couple months than she did all year.
Good for her.
I was waiting. I keep waiting for his question. It's a long one if it's taking him this long. So what are your thoughts?
Here we go. I'm a big Marvel head, and I don't know what to make of this. What's your take on our Doctor Doom going forward?
Yes.
The big reveal.
Robert Downey Jr.
That got a pop at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes. Well, Doctor Doom took up the mantle of Iron Man when Tony Stark died. So it was his way of redemption. In my opinion, to you, good introduction to the Fantastic Four at all. Not even original Fantastic Four, I'll just say it. It's gonna be good. Robert Downey Jr. is one of those actors who, you know, when he got arrested, although you would never have thought he was gonna be the actor he is today, but I think it's good for Marvel to some of the comic book stuff and touch on it, but looking exactly like Turk, that'll be interesting.
I can't sit here and say I'm a huge fan, and most of this is over my head. I like the movies, but I would say tune into Paul's YouTube channel for more talk of this. I think this is right in Paul's wheelhouse, or his fun house, I should say.
Yes, it's right in the fun house. Welcome to the fun house. Come inside. It's fun inside. So Paul, I might have stole that from Mickey.
So Paul, I'll let you plug your show when you wrap, but for myself, if you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at TannerLee92. I talk a lot of sports, but I also talk a lot of pro wrestling, especially AEW. So you can find me on there. And please subscribe to our podcast right here, Kicking Out Podcast, if you haven't already, on YouTube. And give us a like and a follow on X, Instagram, and Facebook at Kicking Out Pod. And if you're listening to this on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us a 5-star rating and review, especially on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out. And now, Paul, I am throwing it to you to plug whatever you want.
Be sure to check out kickingoutshop.com. It is your place to go for some great KOP merchandise. And you can support a great podcast and look fantastic doing so. And I've heard rumors of a possible promo code coming your way for Kicking Out Shop. So you'll have to stay tuned for that one, maybe next week. Be sure to follow myself at PaulZartman87 this coming Friday, August 2nd. I don't know what time yet, so you're going to have to be paying attention to YouTube. Check out Paul's Fun House. We're going to talk a little bit of everything. We might touch on Robert Downey Jr. becoming Dr. Doom. We might talk some of the Wyatt Six, the Wyatt family. Who knows? Be sure to keep an eye out for it. Be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast. And for Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week. We kick out yet another podcast.